Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
The Dave Glover Show is sponsored by the Michaels Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Looking a little dark out there. It would be too much to ask for a little downpour downtown, as hot as it is. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we get together and we do the think tank, and we have a whole stable of our favorites. All of them are cool. None of them are a-holes. None of them are bomb throwers. We've had a few come through the ranks, and we got rid of them really quickly. Jeff Smith is here, and Judge Tom Frawley. And Jeff, we have a special celebrity guest today. Want to introduce us?
We do. This is Sydney Smith, 11 years old, going into sixth grade, my favorite daughter. Just kidding, my only daughter, but also my favorite daughter, and she's fresh from basketball camp.
Nice.
Where she's been starring this week at Bobby McCormick's camp, my old high school coach.
Good, welcome. Good to meet you. Good to see you. Okay, well, we have to talk about the Trump stuff and the Epstein stuff. It's so fascinating to me, legally, politically, just as a human being. Judge, let me throw it to you. First of all, I was really surprised today because it just keeps ramping up and ramping up and ramping up. We're going to release the MLK files. Does that mollify you idiots? And now the House is officially shut down, not doing the people's business for the whole summer just to avoid this Epstein thing.
It's amazing to me, Dave, that, and I think you guys covered a little bit of earlier, that where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, there's got to be something there. There's photos all over the place of him and Epstein. And now, Dave, Trump, being Trump, his reaction, like Roy Cohn of the 50s, when in doubt, just sue the sons of guns.
Yeah.
So the Wall Street Journal, we sue them because that there is no such letter. Wall Street Journal, to their credit so far, has responded like, come on, bring it on, bring it on. And to then respond by saying, well, we're just going to expose the Martin Luther King files. How awful is that? His response to stuff is absolutely, to me, abhorrent. We're going to revoke somebody's citizenship because I don't like her. It's like, and it's truly dictatorship actions.
Yeah.
I can do what I want. What I was reading before I came in, he's now injecting himself in the naming of the Washington football team. They've got to go back to Redskins or he's going to somehow try and inject himself and mess up the stadium deal. Now, I didn't think we elected, and I love this, the slogan of the folks, no kings. He's not a king. He's a dictator, in my opinion.
Yeah. Jeff?
Yeah, I agree with the judge. And It was just a series of ridiculous posts that Trump was making on social media to try to distract, of course, from the Epstein stuff. First, he's talking about, you know, the Redskins have to change their name. Then he's, you know, Obama's committed treason. And he does that tweet where Obama has the, you know, FBI agents coming and handcuffing him. You know, he's just trying to be provocative to get people to talk about anything but the obvious thing that everyone was talking about, which is Epstein. To me, it wasn't even the slightest bit convincing, and it was totally transparent. It kind of recalled when, you know, the Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer thing, just like, you know, I'm having so much fun whitewashing this fence. This is the greatest thing I've ever done, you know, to entice, you know, the other to come and do it. It was just the most basic, like, rudimentary reverse psychology, and I think everybody in the country, not the least, the conservative kind of MAGA conspiracy people more than anybody were like, we're not buying this at all.
Yeah.
And the other thing I read recently, and of course, unfortunately, just because you read it doesn't make it true, but me not being above repeating it, Todd Blanche, who's now in the DOJ and was a private attorney for Trump, has decided he's going to interview Giselle. Now, he says, we follow leads wherever they go. My response to that is baloney. He wants to see what Giselle knows about what Trump exposure is, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
So it's getting worse. And instead of just locking down, sort of like what Jess said, and just kind of ignoring it, it'll go away. He's just amped it up.
And don't you think that he's wanting to find out what she knows, and if what she knows or what she's going to say she knows is favorable to him, here comes a pardon.
You got it.
Yeah.
And if it's not, it'll be... It never happened.
Yeah.
We decided not to do it, or she really didn't know anything. It'd be some nonsense.
Yeah. Wheels? Thoughts?
None good.
Yeah, even better.
I mean, what do you even say now? That hasn't been.
I mean, and was there a bigger tell than when Trump on camera in that quick instant press conference said, I don't understand why the Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. I mean, it's actually really boring stuff. You know, only fake news wants to keep something like that going. I mean, he's just, of course, inviting people to be more interested.
Like, I read that thing from the justice.gov, their own Justice Department, making a big deal out of this February of this year when they did phase one of the release of the Epstein files. It's so fake and phony. It's so obviously a con. Whether you like his policies or not, he's bullcrapping you. That's why I didn't want to say anything, because I don't want to swear. Like, it's so incredibly stupid that, like, forever it's been like, look at this, look at this. Okay, don't look. Now look at this, look at this. Here's a new shiny object. How do you fall for that? How do you not realize that 5 months ago this was their big favor to everybody? Here you go. Big deal. Pam Bondi's at the thing. Trump showed up at that little festivity that they had when they handed those folders out to the influencers that got them. And then all the influencers went home and read it, and they're like, yeah, nothing new here.
Yeah.
Nothing new here. But they made the big deal like this. So you used it to your benefit. And then when it bites you in the butt, you're like, why is anybody even talking about this?
It reminds me of that meme that's like, oh, look, if it isn't the consequences of my own actions.
I mean, And the fact that anybody would just be fooled by it, I can't believe they are, right? You're either just like, you're not fooled by it, you're just like, okay with it, right? Like, if you have an ounce of common sense, you're not like, no, they've never made a big deal out of it. Of course they did. They did. He and, I guess you could say, I don't even know, I don't want to say minions because they don't necessarily work for him, but the people that wanted to get him elected. There were so many people working and saying, this is a big deal. I mean, people have people in the QAnon community have said he's the guy. He's going to bring about the, what do they call it?
The restoration?
No, they have this big word.
The storm.
The storm. He's going to bring about the storm and going to arrest all these people. And that is all, and you co-opt that. You maybe didn't join the group, but you co-opt it. You accept it. You welcome them in. You give them little tips of the cap. Well, at some point, they're going to want you to deliver.
Yeah.
And then we're all supposed to go, oh, yeah, he never talked about that before. Why is this a big deal?
He's the master of trying to, sort of Kevin said, deflect the view. Is we're going to release all the Martin Luther King files. That way everybody will be looking over here. But he can't do that. He's incapable of maintaining that type of approach. Through social, he's got to say something incredibly stupid. Now he's got to inject himself in things that are irrelevant to what he's able to do, all in an effort to deflect, but he still can't stay focused on a thing. He's like the classic, if he's not on ADD meds, I don't know, he ought to be.
So not for the people who still love him, however many there are left of that, but for everyone else, are we in a few years going to look back on the Trump phenomenon like we do COVID and just go, that was weird? Or is it going to have a lasting effect throughout the rest of our lives?
How can it not have a lasting effect? And I don't mean that in a smart way. All the congressional actions that have been taking place, the trillion, what, 7.2 trillion is what this new bill is supposed to create in debt. All the people that are going to be off of Medicaid, the work requirements, I endorse that. But to just deprive these folks of in a rural area of the medical treatment they need through hospitals, it's got to be long lasting. I don't see how, even in the mid-year election, Dave, even if we go so that it's Democratic by one vote, two votes, whatever, they're not going to be able to undo all this stuff. In 2 years. And if somebody says, well, he can't run again. Au contraire, he can't run again. But I thought citizenship wasn't undoable either. I thought it was in the Constitution.
That's right.
So I think this is going to be lasting consequences on three levels. First are the policy implications, and the judge kind of went into some of those with respect to the one big, quote-unquote, beautiful bill. Then there's going to be lasting political implications. As we've talked about before, there's sort of a broader partisan realignment that's happened in this country, and Trump has been, and I don't like him, but he's been a consequential president in that regard, as he has realigned the Republican Party to be the party of downscale voters, you know, in the electorate, especially downscale white voters, but has gained some with downscale voters of color. And that's consequential. And then finally, there's real lasting implications for our democracy and what truth is. I feel like, you know, we don't have a single truth that we can agree on as a country anymore. And what he did very, very adroitly, I have to admit, with January 6th, I never would have believed on January 10th of 2021 that he could get three quarters of the Republican Party to believe that that election was stolen. It looked like he was gone and left for dead by that party, and they were going to move on to Ron DeSantis. And he persuaded them with his tirelessness every week at a time, not just to memory hole what happened that day, but to lionize the people who beat the crap out of law enforcement officers. I never would have thought I'd have lived to see the day when the Republican Party would see people who had beat up law enforcement officers as patriots. And that, I think, will have lasting implications for what it means to agree on democracy, truth, and what it means to you know, adhere to the rule of law.
So how do you pull something like that off? It's not by pure charm. Is it favors? Is it mostly just good old-fashioned fear? They're just afraid of the guy?
I think it's fear. I mean, I think he scares the crap out of these senators that he's going to put somebody up against them. They, of course, do not want any position other than what they have. And so as long as they kowtow to him, plus you have some of them that are true believers of all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I never thought I would think that the congressman from New York City would be somebody I would give a lot of credibility to, Cortez, but by God, she seems to get it pretty straight. Josh Hawley, for a minute, actually was really, in my opinion, saying all the right things.
Very human.
About the rural hospitals. Well, then he votes for it. So what's changed in that? Well, I now had this new bill. Well, let's see him get that through Congress.
Yeah. What did you make of Hunter Biden outing his dad for taking Ambien before the debate? It's exciting times we live in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that he got back from that European trip on June 13th. And I think the debate was maybe the 27th. So it was 2 weeks later. So by Hunter's account, the Ambien he took to sleep on a plane made him foggy 2 weeks later. I mean, this guy just needs to go away, you know, and then out there, you know, accusing David Axelrod, who was Barack Obama's kind of top campaign strategist in 2008, Hunter Biden alleging that he's been dining out off of his Obama association for decades. bro, what have you been doing
your whole life?
Your whole life. And David Axelrod won a presidential campaign with a guy who'd only been in the Senate a couple of years against the Clintons. I mean, you know, Hunter Biden, I would say, probably had more to do, or at least as much to do, with Democrats losing 2024 as any other human being.
Interesting.
First, by just creating an unending spate of negative headlines about, you know, his grifting and about whether Joe Biden was involved in that in some way, leading to all kinds of congressional investigations. And then later, pushing him to stay in the race long past the time when most Democrats realized that he shouldn't be. And if we'd have had time to actually have an open, wide open primary, I think we would have produced a nominee that would have been more compelling to the swing voter in swing states than Kamala Harris was.
So I asked the boys earlier in the show, has any president really made an impact on society for their side? And it seems that maybe Trump has, whether you love it or you hate it. But like you said, he's been very consequential.
Oh, he has now. You know, it depends what you're looking at, in my opinion, in the size of the world. FDR made an incredible impact in terms of the World War. President Woodrow Wilson in the League of Nations. I'm not sure Kennedy did as much as we give him credit for, because he was just us at that point, Dave. Yeah. He was just, we were all young, and he was young, and he was vibrant, and he was cool, and he was all that. But and he did, you know, the Bay of Pigs, he had other things. But I think, in the over the whole landscape of life, I'm not sure anybody's had as much impact as Trump.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. You know, if we're to be honest about it, then, you know, Biden was, you know, he was, I think, a fine president. He won't go down in the history books as that consequential of a president. He would have gone down in the history books, I think, much better had he left after one term. I don't think you can really call the first Trump presidency that consequential. I think the second one, and the fact that him coming back into the White House shows that the first time was not a fluke, and his kind of culmination of the realignment of the Republican Party around, you know, really a post-truth, post-January 6th era. I think that is going to be, you know, in the 21st century so far, I shudder to say it, but I think he may be the most consequential president of this century so far.
As long as you're not looking at comparing positives and negatives, he's clearly the most consequential. But how you just get things by telling people that they have to obey. I mean, how can any, my opinion, senator?
But Your Honor, someone once said, and I think this is really apt, Trump can only take your dignity if you're willing to give it up.
And that's kind of where I was going.
Yeah. And if you look at all these politicians that are terrified of a primary, you know, people need to stand up and say, you know what, if I lose, I lose, but I'm going to do the right thing. I appreciate that Tom Tillis wouldn't go along with the One Big Beautiful Bill vote. But of course, then he realized that if I'm going to cross Trump, I'm going to lose in a primary and I can't run for re-election this way. It's a sad state of affairs.
All right, we went really long there, so we'll cut it off right there. That's Judge Frawley and Jeff Smith. Sydney, have a great rest of your summer. Quick break, right back, DGS. I thought this was interesting. A new scientific study of 2 million people in 164 different countries say that 13 years of age is the minimum age that kids should get a phone. If they get it earlier than 13, they risk severe, depressed, emotionally, they risk being severely depressed and emotionally unstable by their mid-20s. But it may not show up until then. That's interesting.
I think kids are getting phones too early. I didn't get one until I was 16. And I mean,
I think 10's the average age now.
That just seems so young to me. I don't know.
We made our kid wait till her 13th birthday. You don't need it before that. Like, what's the need? You know, you can chat with your friends on a computer, but it's not something you have in your pocket with you all the time.
I think an appropriate age to get a phone is when you start going out on your own.
Yes.
Which is probably around 13,
it's around 12, 14, 13, 15, 14, yeah.
When you start going out with your friends to the mall or whatever by yourself. I know people don't go to malls anymore. They don't even
exist. Now, I will say, I think as an example, I think my sister got one I don't remember exactly, but I think it was earlier than that, but it was also because she's out at like dance competitions and it'd be like, okay, we got to find you and we'll meet here or whatever.
Yeah. And talking in your sleep. Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Looked like it was going to rain downtown for a minute, but now the skies are brightening up again. We're all in this one together. Just going to be hot as hell for the next couple of weeks or so. Wheels, what's my drive home going to be like on the rush hour tonight?
Oh, you mean on the... I'm like, I don't know. Should we ask Roger? Yeah, so we usually, on Tuesdays, we usually kind of pick a couple of highlights from Ollie being on Gas House Gang.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a bit about those. I think we may do something with his thoughts on McGreevy, which he's now restated a bunch of times. There was a funny moment there, too, where they kind of asked him if he felt like he has said too much on the show in the past, like maybe crossing some lines. And he's like, I don't think so. I think I'm comfortable with things I said. And Bernie's like, even with all the campaigning for McGreevy and all that, and he just kind of laughed, didn't really follow up on that. So there's some good stuff there. We'll talk a bit about the frustration on the offense, too. This, you know, the weekend in Arizona, he talked a bit about that. And then, you know, we're going to talk about Eric Fetty a little bit because he's still in the rotation. He is pitching tonight in Colorado. And they're still running him out there despite the struggles. And the same thing with Michaelis. He's pitching tonight in Colorado. Yeah. But it sounds like they think that they can trade him, which is odd. Like, why would people want somebody that's been that bad? But then my question would be, and Matt Pauly and I will discuss this, is whatever small return you could get for him, let's say you can trade him and you save a couple million bucks or you get something really minor from somebody else. Is that worth the negative impact on your outcomes of games the last month and a half?
By putting him out there to show how good he is.
By continuing to run him out there with the hope of getting some small return, is that small return worth maybe jeopardizing a wild card spot?
Yeah. Yeah, we could lose a few more games.
I mean, because you look at, I think somebody posted this, but it's, I don't remember the exact time span. It might be the last 2 months. But the last 2 months, Fetty and Michaelis are 1-10. 1-10. So if you had any,
it's only one more than me.
If you had McGreevy in one of those spots, maybe you have 3 or 4 wins instead of 1, and well, that puts you in a wild card spot right now. So like, I think there's a really interesting conversation though. Like sometimes maybe it's not worth it to squeeze some kind of trade value out of someone when it's harming your team performance.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Our pal Ricky Horton joins us. Hey, Rick. Nope. There we go. Hello, Rick.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Hey, Dave, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, buddy. So I have a question for you and Wheels. This is a big, overarching 30,000-foot view question. So the last several years, I've been a casual Cardinals fan. Check the box score. Oh, great. The boys won. Great. The last 2 years, I have been into it. Just attended my 20th game of the season. And my question is this. Now that I'm paying such close attention, is it always this intense? like, are we going to buy? Are we going to sell? Are we this? Are we going to keep this? Are we going to do that? Like, is there something special about this season, or is every season got an aspect of this?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm going to answer, and then, Wheels, you can say. But I do think most seasons are like that. The more you become a fan, I think the more voices you listen to, the more places you get news from about your team that you love, and that just creates questions. I mean, baseball is a thinking person's game, and so because it's a thinking person's game, it involves a lot of conversations, a lot of debate, a lot of, hey, we should do that, we should do this. And I think that's why baseball is kind of a cool sport to me. I've always loved that because there's a lot of issues, controversies, questions. And so the more you become a fan, the more you get involved in that. That's my thought. How about you, Wheels?
Totally agree. And, you know, I think that this is normal. Because, I mean, this was not much different than the conversation in 2011 when the team was struggling and people were worried and should they trade or should they not trade. And then they shook some things up and went on a crazy run. And then what you forget the angst and you forget the concerns and all that because you had Happy Flight and Rally Squirrel and you won the World Series. But the same dynamic existed in July of 2011 that is existing right now.
You know, Wheels, I was thinking about this today. When Tony La Russa started with the Cardinals, I mean, there's a lot of talk about, well, the Cardinals are just in such a bad place. Well, they've been over 500 the last 2 years. Tony La Russa's teams were struggling when he first started to be around 500. I mean, this is not unusual. Whitey Herzog, when I was a Cardinal in 1984, we barely played 500. In fact, I don't think we did. And then in 1985, we end up winning the pennant and all that. So the point is, it's just kind of part of the roller coaster ride of being a baseball fan, loving your team. It's kind of like the more you love, the more you feel it. That's how I would say it.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to forget history, right? I mean, Tony came in 96, and they won 88 games and finished in first place, and then missed the playoffs the next 3 years in a row. And at 73 wins, 83 wins, and 75 wins for three straight years. But again, 98 feels different, though, because 98 we had the home run chase. So the team wasn't that good. But there was something to draw you out to the ballpark and get you excited.
Right.
So you had three years there, though. And look, I moved here in August of 2006 is when I got the job at KMOX and started here. And my first few weeks of doing Sports Open Line, I had people nonstop yelling at Tony La Russa. He's never won here. He hasn't won since 1989. And he's been here since 19. He's been here 10 years. And they lost one World Series, but they have never gotten over the hump. And I'm like, all right, but he's a Hall of Famer. And then people would yell at you, and all of a sudden you win, and the story changes. So this dynamic of angst is definitely not new. It's very much normal.
I also think because I've gone through the various stages of fandom, and early on I was like, well, Mr. DeWitt's a billionaire. Let's just add $100 million to the payroll and let's go buy Pete Crow Armstrong. But then you watch like what's happening with the Dodgers and how many times a team that's spending almost double what you are, but with the same or worse record sometimes.
Yeah. And that's the economics is interesting. We had this conversation last week about the idea of having stars on your team and what Wheels just said about the 1998 Cardinals team. That was a conflicting year for me as a fan. I've been out of the game for 4 or 5 years, but you know, the McGuire thing was really fun. But for me, it was like, wait a minute, is this a sideshow or are we trying to win? I kind of liked it, but I didn't. And there were some people in the front office saying the same thing, a couple of VP friends of mine that said that we're a little conflicted about this too, because fans are loving it, but we're kind of a one-trick pony right here. We're playing off of a home run chase, not a team winning, which is so the idea of, you know, just spending to get all the best players that everybody knows, that's kind of a game you win, but the idea is to win by being a complete team, which I think is an entirely different thing. And of course, if you don't have the $400 million payroll, you have to be careful about how you get there.
So this is a very existential, obtuse question, so I apologize in advance. But in general, when you listen to fans, like on Sports Open Line, Wheels, or Ricky, if you have a conversation with them, if there's something they don't understand or appreciate that you guys do, what typically is it? What are fans missing about the way baseball really works when they get all worked up?
Well, I mean, I'll give you – so part of it is the fact that there's a human factor to it. You know, Tony used to love to say – by the way, I love existential questions. I always thought you were – you remind me a lot of Nietzsche, by the way, Dave. I mean, I feel like you're the same guy. So, but the idea that, you know, you can just kind of push a button and go from A to B to C, it's very programmatic. It's very kind of linear. It's very kind of algorithmic. But people are not that way. So, I mean, you're talking about developing a player, for example. You might say, well, look at his OPS, and look at his this, and look at his height, and look at his weight, look at his feet. But he's a person. You know, La Russa used to say that all the time. They're men and not machines. And I find that to be the case. And sometimes the frustration that I get from having kind of been there is the way that people talk about players as if they're not people. You know, and, you know, they're people. And they have bad days. They have family issues. They have, you know, I mean, they just have the regular struggles that we have. I mean, we may not think that because we want to kind of talk about how much money they make. But the point is, you know, they are men and not machines.
Yeah, I think two things, and this is one of them is specific to Cardinals fans right now, but it's not specific to Cardinals fans because I think fan bases tend to be somewhat siloed off from what's happening elsewhere because you follow your team every day.
Yeah.
And you don't follow Cleveland every day, and you don't follow Pittsburgh every day, and you don't follow Milwaukee every day. So you think that what's happening in your world is what's happening in the baseball world, and that's just not the case. I mean, like, people will think – I get this a lot where people are mad at Ali Marmol or they're mad at this player, that player, or the team, and I'll be like, it's happening everywhere. This is not a Cardinals problem. You know, I mean, there are lots of fans in L.A. that want Dave Roberts fired. If you were on Dodgers Twitter, you would be like, what in the world is happening? Because every time they go through a losing stretch, they want Dave Roberts fired. And they just won the World Series last year.
And check the Yankees right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
Toronto Blue Jays are leading the American League East. And the Yankees are kind of in a free fall. The Yankees are kind of very pedestrian team right now. And talk about having a big salary. And so they're not happy with the Yankees. And, of course, if you're not happy and you live in New York, you're really not happy. I mean, that's kind of what that fan base is all about.
Enjoy the 900-degree temperatures out in Colorado.
I will. You bet, guys.
All right, pal.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb.
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.